us.
Once again, Jack has heard an owl outside his hotel, the El Magrib. And once again, a chunk of El Magrib has fallen away. This time, it was the wall of his room that went rumbling 5 stories down into the bushes below. And again, Jack has barely escaped from being part of the big rumble. As we look in, Jack is about to complain to the management.
The wall just fell off my room.
Which wall, Mister?
Which wall? The outside one, for Christ's sake.
The wall just fall?
Yep. Just like the balcony.
America, everything better, oui?
No.
No? Ah, too bad.
Look, I want a different room.
Ah, Mister, if it were up to me.
If it were up to you? Well, why can't I have another room?
If there were room, I'd give it to you.
If there were room. The hotel is empty. There are hundreds of rooms.
Ah, but the Germans.
What Germans?
The Germans. Reserve hotel.
You mean some Germans have reserved all the other rooms?
Oui.
Every room?
Oui.
Well, then where the hell are they?
You coming, mister?
Well, I'm leaving. Just send somebody to pick up my
No, no, mister. El Magrib wants happy customer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not happy.
Come, wait. Come back. We talk.
Yeah, we talk.
No. You come here. Yes? Come.
Look, I've got an idea. Why don't I have one of the Germans' rooms, and when they arrive...
No. How much room you have?
You mean how much of my room do I have left?
Oui.
About 2/3.
Ah, we deduct 1/3 from bill, everyone happy.
You're out of your mind.
No. You pay 2/3 only.
Oh, come on. Let's just forget.
Wait. Come back. Come back, please.
Let's just send somebody to pick up my bags, okay?
You pay 2/3, everyone happy.
One leg of my bed is hanging out into space. It's dangerous up there.
What is last offer?
You're kidding. No, you aren't. All right. You fix room. Me pay 1/3, everyone happy.
1/3? 1/2. Everyone happy.
1/2? And you'll fix the room?
Fix good.
Today? Right
Today?
Now?
Right now.
You don't want your only customer to leave, do you? All right. 1/2. It's a deal.
Very wise. No problems. Everyone has.
Okay.
Wait.
What?
Message from Countess Zazinia.
Oh.
Countess asks you come to dinner.
I see.
Moon rises, in the cool hours of the evening, in the smell of the mint bed, the cedar wood and the eucalyptus trees of Tangier, carried by the dry, scented winds of Morocco. Morocco.
What are you looking for?
Well, actually, I was looking for a fork or something.
Vida in Moroccan.
Fingers?
Fingers at the right hand only.
Oh, what do you call this this large pie here?
Fred. Oh, shock.
What?
A joke. It's called a zastilla. Inside, stuffed with giblets, pigeon.
Oh, it smells fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
You just poke one finger through here, is that right?
No, poke. Plunge.
Oh, it's very good.
Jack, you like to dine on the rooftop. You see all of Tangier.
Yes, the dogs are lovely.
Just 2 more nights, then the moon is full, the dogs are happy. Now, you tell me about ley lines.
Well, how did you know about that?
Tell.
Well, There was a man by the name of Alfred Watkins who traveled around Britain a great deal and was interested in these prehistoric markers and stone circles. You know, sacred sites.
Oui.
He knew they were connected to each other in some way, but how? That he didn't know. Until one day, he was sitting on a hillside, and blam, it suddenly flashed before him. He saw all these sites connected by straight lines that ran right across the countryside. He suddenly realized that if you align one marker with another and keep going in a straight line, you'll find yet another and another. And he called these ley lines. He discovered that set upon these lines were churches, mounds, moats, stone circles, markers, crosses. And he realized these ley lines once covered the entire country.
Yes, go on.
Well, of course, our skeptical, rational, contemporary man says, why in God's name would prehistoric man want to measure and mark out an entire country? And it would have been impossible. Such a thing contradicts all our assumptions about the nature of prehistoric life.
Go on.
Well, have you ever seen the Ministry of Works Guide to Stonehenge? I mean, the illustrations are of naked savages rolling around rocks and pushing up big piles of dirt because of some ignorant superstition. For such people to have laid down accurate alignments across miles and miles of mountainous country is obviously out of the question. So tell me, who's ignorant?
Yes? Go on!
But you don't mind if I talk with my mouth full?
No, continue.
This is very good.
Go on, Jacques.
Well, what if, instead of people clubbing rabbits and rocks and whatever was within reach, what if there were druid sages, wizards, astronomer priests, incredibly wise people? Who knows? For what they knew, we no longer know. For there appear to be two kinds of truth, poetic and scientific, and the two cannot always be made compatible.
Continue.
What is this?
This? Le chef d'oeuvre d'every Moorish banquet. Roasted lamb. Oh, yes, a special oil, you see, called argan. Not only give tenderness and savor to roast, but make brown the exterior into delicious flaky crust.
Oh, it's just great.
Oui, oui. But continue.
Just one more nibble here.
Go on.
All right. What I'm saying is, the laying out of a network of astronomical and geometrical lines across the face of the Earth implies a technology which could hardly have been developed unless it had a practical purpose. Human life was enriched by means of a force activated through the geographical relationship of these sacred centers.
I read about churches built upon ruins of sacred sites.
Right. Now, a tremendous number of stone circles must have been destroyed, because it was a policy of early Christians to replace them with a church. About 500 stone circles still exist in Britain.
Jacques, now comes the roasted capon.
Terrific, but I haven't even finished.
Yes! These capons, they're cooked with butter and olive. The blanket that covers is like omelette. Beaten egg, chopped giblet, olive seasoning,
eh? It's delicious.
Yeah, they call me the Juliet Child of Morocco. You tell me now about the stone circle. Continue.
Well, all right. In 1967, a Scottish engineer, Professor Tom, surveyed most of these 500 or so stone circles.
Oui.
Anyway, the good professor got his mind blown when he measured these circles. He found, in every single case, the ground plan is based upon an elaborate and infinitely precise geometrical figure. Circles, ellipses, and other variations are set out with an accuracy which approaches 1 in 1,000. These figures are based upon Pythagorean triangles, which means that whoever built these had a mathematical knowledge previously thought to be first acquired by the Greeks 1,000 years later. What happened to the capons? What's this? Meatballs?
Pasta! Meatballs blanketed with lentils, greens, tomato, onion, eh?
Meatballs.
Continue. Eat later.
Let's see, where was I? Oh, stone circles, right. It's all true, you know. Oh, that's really cool. The incredible thing is that modern surveyors have no methods by which such unique places can be discovered. I mean, we couldn't build one if we wanted to. But 2000 BC, they knew. So we know these sites assisted their agriculture. But what else did they assist? It's gone.
It is gone.
No, I meant the food. It's gone.
C'est dommage. There is a saying, Jacques, among the Arabs. The palm of one's hand does not eclipse the sun.
Huh?
Have a cup of tea, Jacques, my hungry young friend.